Hello and welcome back to Clothes and the Rest. My name is Holly Bullock. I'm a fashion journalist, and in this series I'm interviewing champions of ethical, sustainable and diverse style. Someone who definitely fits the bill is this week's guest, creative consultant Emma Slade Edmondson. Emma has actually worked in all sides of the sustainable fashion industry. She started off as a stylist, helping people make use of the clothes they already owned with her company, Back of the Wardrobe. She now only uses that expertise to get the best out of her own wardrobe, but she channels her creative energy into consulting instead, primarily in charity retail. She recently directed the refurbishment of Cancer Research's Marylebone store. She's also the founder of Charity Fashion Live, a project which saw her recreate London Fashion Week catwalk looks in real time, using only what she could find in a single charity shop. In this episode, Emma talks more about Charity Fashion Live. She explains why she loves charity shops so much and how she's going about transforming their image. She also discusses the accessibility of sustainable style and her own approach to ethical fashion. I absolutely loved chatting to Emma. She has done so much, and it was really inspiring to discover more about her work. I really hope you enjoy the episode. This is Emma Slade Edmondson on Clothes and the Rest. Hello, Emma Slade Edmondson. Thank you so much for having me round to your lovely South London home. You haven't always worked in fashion, have you? But you did start styling your friends for fun at university out of the clothes that they already had in their wardrobes. So tell me about that.
Sure, yeah, I did. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's right. So when I was at university, obviously, I'm sure everyone can relate to this, you don't really have much money, everybody still wants to look fab all the time, and I kind of started styling my housemates. And obviously we only really had each other's wardrobes to work from, so we were sort of already doing that kind of swapping and sharing thing. But also I sort of got a little bit of a reputation for being able to style people out of their existing wardrobes and create new looks. So yeah, that's kind of probably what you've read about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that was like really, really fun, and I kind of really enjoyed helping people discover new looks from the things that they already had in their wardrobes. And I guess my Back of the Wardrobe consultancy kind of grew out of that, I suppose.
Yeah, I know that the original kind of conception of that idea came when you're at university. But when did you start thinking about that as a sustainable option as well? Was that immediately, or did that kind of consciousness about sustainability come later?
No, that was definitely later. I would say that my interest when it comes to fashion wasn't necessarily, I wouldn't have called it sustainability from the beginning. I've always had kind of a love of old clothes and, you know, hand-me-downs and wearing my mum's clothing. I think I was kind of wearing her stuff from a very young, early age, in the sense that I was kind of wearing stuff that she would have worn in her 20s when I was 14 or 15, you know, being mixed race, like I had a very different body shape to my mum. And I was probably able to get into those clothes that she would wear a bit older when I was younger. And I kind of really enjoyed having those items that people wouldn't, like my peers wouldn't necessarily have or be wearing. Sometimes maybe they were a bit more risque
than a 14-year-old.
Yeah, should be maybe not that a 14-year-old should be wearing, but maybe that, like, maybe people be buying for their like 14-year-olds, whereas like I was dipping into my mum's,
right,
you know,
definitely stood out on
old clothes and things she would buy from designer fairs and that kind of thing. And I just loved having things that,
yeah, that must have been really exciting though.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, and I really like remember some of those moments of wearing some of those clothes. Like I remember having this gorgeous black gown that she had, which kind of had herringbone in it and a corset, and I wore that for a something I sung in at school. And I there's all these moments that you have with your clothes. And I think specifically if those have those clothes have stories before you that mean that you've got like this relationship with them. And I've always been quite interested in that. So I think my relationship with fashion and, you know, secondhand clothing wasn't necessarily initially about sustainability. It was very much about more about a relationship with clothing and enjoying that side of things.
Yeah, the stories and the enjoyment of wearing them definitely comes across in what you do and how you present fashion. So you set up your style consultancy Back of the Wardrobe in 2010. But you eventually left your advertising job that you had at the time to focus solely on that. So tell me about the journey between being a student and styling your friends and then leaving your job to start this thing. It must have been such an incredible journey, but also kind of scary.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I left uni and I don't know what people do usually, but I had a folder of jobs to try. And I sort of started going about trying these jobs with my little folder.
Very organised then.
Very organised, yeah. I'm a creative, but I'm very organised.
It's a good balance.
A combination. But it served me well. So basically I started in PR and then I moved into my next thing to try. Obviously I didn't. That wasn't quite right for me. So then my next thing to try was advertising, and I was lucky enough to get a role in advertising. And then I spent many years in the advertising industry, working at lots of different agencies and lots of different things, everything from kind of fast FMCG, fast moving consumer goods to automotive, insurance. I worked on fashion. And I kind of, it was a bit of a love-hate relationship, I would say, because whilst there's lots of things about advertising and marketing that I really loved and I still love and I use to help my existing clients, there was something about it that for me just didn't work. And, you know, I wanted to be working with brands that I really believed in and that I wanted to push forward rather than just things that, you know, you're selling because you're selling them. And there was something for me that was kind of hollow in that. So I had obviously been styling in some capacity when I was at uni, and I'd continued doing that on the side. And I decided that I would go, full time with that, and worked freelance for a bit to make some money. To set myself up for that, and then eventually went full time with Back of the Wardrobe styling consultancy.
So how did the process with Back of the Wardrobe go? When someone came to you and said, style me, what did you do?
Yeah, so I was very clear with all of my prospective clients that my style of consultancy and styling was about helping them to work with their existing wardrobe and helping them to basically learn the craft of styling. It's because something that people were always sort of saying to me was, I've got so many clothes, but I don't have anything to wear. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And that's more about a change in kind of behaviour and a change in the way you look at what you've got rather than, you know, a need for new things. And so what I wanted to do was teach people how to look differently at what they already had and to think creatively about how they would style themselves so that they wouldn't look in their wardrobe anymore and say, I've got nothing to wear. They would feel empowered to kind of put things together in a slightly different way or think differently about the way they're appreciating themselves and their body and their relationship with their clothes and how they could kind of use that to kind of work with their existing wardrobe.
Yeah, because that story of us having bulging wardrobes but never being able to find an outfit is such a common one. Which I think so many people experience, but it's really hard to get out of that rut. I guess that you do need a fresh pair of eyes on your stuff to kind of pick out what's special there.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily about picking out what's special, but it's one about reviewing what you have, because I think a lot of people kind of consume things and don't necessarily take a moment to step back and say, okay, what do I already have? Like, what's in my wardrobe? And to have kind of a fresh head about that. And so I think that's number one, is kind of reviewing what you've already got, doing a bit of an audit, if you want to.
I guess this is kind of your organised brain coming in again, is taking stock of what you have and really looking at things and actually evaluating your wardrobe rather than just going out and buying stuff that you didn't really need because you didn't have a gap, really.
Exactly. And I think if you're really much clearer about what you already have in your wardrobe, then if you do need something new, then you're buying with purpose rather than kind of just impulse buying or aimlessly buying, which doesn't make people feel good in my experience. It's kind of a short-lived thing. Whereas if you are able to own and love pieces for a really long time and utilize them and keep kind of using them, it's more fulfilling. And I think people really feel that once they get into it.
Yeah, so you've obviously had a really long-standing love of charity shops. But back then, were you encouraging your clients to shop charity shops and kind of teaching them how it's done?
I think I've always had this approach of, like I said, it's about, number one, doing an audit of your existing wardrobe. Then I would help people create new looks from their existing wardrobe. And then I would make suggestions for people based on what I knew about their wardrobe. So if they were going to purchase, it was about purchasing something that would be useful for their existing wardrobe and help them kind of get closer to their style aspirations that they'd communicated to me. So I wouldn't say that I was necessarily taking a route where I was taking people out to charity shops and kind of teaching them how to charity shop.
Easiest way.
Yeah, exactly. Just like forcing them down that route. But you know, it's always been something that's been like close to my heart and something I would definitely that I would definitely encourage people to do. That I've always definitely encouraged people to try it out.
Yeah. Why do you love charity shops so much?
I think it's just because I personally have always been a lover of having a unique style and honing a unique kind of style. And I think that charity shops are a brilliant learning ground for that. And, you know, there's always something there that you can find that nobody else will be wearing. And you really do have to hone your personal sense of style when you're shopping that way, because it's not painting by numbers fashion, you know, there's nothing to guide you in the sense of, it's not about trends, it's about style, you know? It's really about, you know, finding things that you connect with and putting things together in a way that's really fun and interesting, rather than it being, you know, going into a shop and seeing things on a mannequin and then being able to just pick those things up and leave with them.
Yeah, it's really creative. And I guess that translated into Charity Fashion Live, which was your next project. Tell me about that and how that came about.
Sure. Okay, so with Charity Fashion Live, I guess I wanted to give a ethical fashion retailer or an NGO a mouthpiece during the biggest event, fashion event in the UK. So I was kind of thinking about how that could be done. And yeah, the idea of recreating London Fashion Week looks in real time as they came out on the catwalk seemed to be kind of the truest representation of how on trend, how kind of relevant, and how accessible and fashion forward secondhand clothing could be. And so I kind of just thought initially, like, let me give it a go. Let me see if I can do it. And yeah, so the first time we did it, I did it with Trinity Hospice. And it was kind of a trial run to see whether it could actually be done. And it worked out pretty well, but there was nobody really there to see it because I hadn't really done any promotion on social media or anything like that, because I just wasn't, you know, kind of had the idea 2 weeks before Fashion Week. And then it was a case of, I pulled in a few friends and mm-hmm. people in the industry to kind of, you know, help me out. People were into it.
Yeah.
Stripped from the get-go. And that's how I kind of knew it was going to be a thing, because I could always ask people if they wanted to be involved with this thing, and people always said yes, because yeah. I think it was just something that was exciting for people and inspirational, and people kind of really got it. It was like, you know, if we can do this, then, you know, that really is, it's something new. And it was just a kind of a novel approach to it.
Yeah, you mentioned accessibility when you were talking about Charity Fashion Live then. Was that the basis of your idea? Was it to make this, I guess, London Fashion Week seems so inaccessible for so many people, this kind of high fashion world, was your aim to bring that into more people's lives and encourage people to be more creative with what they had?
Yeah, it was definitely part of it. I think, you know, it was about connecting with a younger audience, connecting a younger audience with secondhand fashion. And for me, coming from a marketing and advertising background, you know, we had to be where those people were. So it was important for that to be on all the social media platforms that those people were going to be, you know, on. And consuming their kind of fashion from. And it was important for it to be accessible and authentic, you know, like there was no trickery or fakery in what we were doing. And you could see that because we did it live, you know, and initially we did it live, you know, through mainly Twitter, and then it kind of graduated to being Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and we created a film, and that was put out, you know, almost immediately the following day to show that we'd done it all in real time. And so, yeah, I think there was definitely something for me where I definitely felt that Fashion Week was quite an exclusive thing, and that people didn't find it accessible. And I thought, well, how are you going to get people to really buy into this idea if you can't get to people? So yeah, I wanted it to be a show that everybody could attend.
Yeah,
definitely.
And that link with charity shops has kind of really maintained throughout your career. You've obviously worked in all sides of the industry now, but mostly now you do consulting with brands and organizations. So how did you get into that?
I've been working with brands, whether that be ethical, sustainable fashion brands, for quite some time. And I worked more in the capacity of a stylist, but then I ended up doing lots of marketing, because that's obviously my skill set, because I worked in marketing for so many years, and you know, in the end it kind of became a sort of niche package of creative direction and, you know, marketing and, you know, the styling, because I'm a control freak, so I have to do that bit myself. So producing this vision, and it became packaged. So yeah, I guess that's kind of how that came about.
Yeah, your most recent project that you've consulted on, art directed on, is the refurbishment of Cancer Research's Marylebone store. That seems like, from the outside, such an amazing but long process. So tell me about how you got that and how you realised your vision.
Yeah. So I did actually another project just not too long before the Cancer Research UK project, which is in a similar kind of vein. I co-produced the Love Not Landfill pop-up shop that was in Brick Lane. And I think it all comes from the same place, really, which is really about getting a younger demographic interested in and involved in secondhand. And it's about understanding, like, who you're talking to, what they're looking for from an aesthetics point of view, like what they're used to seeing and how they're used to being presented to, which for me has always been something that's really important in my career. I do not, you know, I would never put anything out there to do with secondhand clothing that for me isn't, you know, aesthetically beautiful and desirable, because secondhand is desirable and beautiful. And, you know, I really resent the idea that for a long time, I think sustainability in fashion has been thought of, and secondhand maybe as well, has been thought of as kind of hemp sacks and, you know, hand-me-downs, and in a negative kind of way. And so for me, I wanted to always flip that on its head and show something that was like high production values and very, you know, aesthetically pleasing and very fashion forward, and that not just people who are into sustainability or secondhand would kind of go, okay, but the fashion set would go, okay, cool, this is, you know, we get this. And that, you know, anybody, your sort of, would I say, you know, average high street shopper or, you know, whomever would stop and say, okay, that's something I could, you know, see myself in. So yeah, it's kind of, it's about strategy and understanding audiences and kind of bringing that into the space that you're developing. And when it comes to Cancer Research UK, you know, I wanted it to run through everything that we did in that store, the idea that, you know, you could have a place to kind of, whatever's going on in your life, just have a moment to, enjoy, relax, feel like you're in this warm, modern, welcoming space. And that was really what the brief was all about. You know, given what Cancer Research UK does at large, it was important to me for that to kind of be reflected in the space also, that this is kind of more of a haven, whilst it's going to be modern and attract, you know, a younger audience into store. It has to kind of cater for its existing audience and all of the kind of community that love to be there and shop in that space. And also hero the clothes, you know, hero the wonderful product, and kind of be a befitting space for that product. And for all of those wonderful pieces of clothing.
Yeah, and the Cancer Research Project has been such a resounding success. I mean, the reaction on social media and in real life was so positive. You must have been so pleased to see that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's always a relief to find out that what you thought was going to do well does do well, for sure. But yeah, no, it's really, it's lovely. It's also a cause that's really close to my heart personally, having lost my mum to cancer. So yeah, for me, it's really rewarding on so many fronts. And I think that's probably why I'm so into working in this space, you know, because it often is rewarding on so many levels, in terms of the gratification you get for the work you're doing.
Yeah, and charity shopping is really rewarding because you know that your money's going to the right place. It's going to a charity, which is one of the best places it could go to. So what would be your advice for people starting out in charity shopping? I know the places that you collaborate with make it really easy because it's a beautiful space, but maybe for people that don't have the Marylebone shop around the corner from them, how do you dig through your average charity shop?
Gosh, how long have you got? Well, I mean, I would say, you know, that it's, if you're kind of new to charity shopping, it's good to go at it with kind of an open perspective. And something I often say to people is, you know, maybe think of an occasion or, you know, maybe a piece that you already have that you want to build from. And sometimes I take things with me, you know, if I've got a look that I'm trying to create or I've got something that I want to add to, you know, I will take that piece with me and use it as a starting point. And as I say, if you've got an occasion that you're kind of trying to purchase for, that's always a good place to start as well. I would say that, you know, some people kind of shop looking for an era, and I would say focus on kind of maybe mixing your eras rather than sticking to one era, and that way your look can be kind of more enigmatic rather than it kind of looking as though it's straight out of the 70s.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, because I think so many people, I mean, I personally go in wanting something from the 70s, but then you come out looking like a 70s replica, don't you? It's
from
really
that 70s show.
Exactly.
Yeah. I kind of like that look myself personally, but that's just because I'm kind of halfway there with my afro, so you know, just what I think it works for
works.
But yeah, so that's kind of another thing. In terms of sustainability, you know, maybe do a bit of research on your fabrics beforehand, and you know, maybe look for things more like linens and silks, or you know, I mean, that's always a good thing to do. Anything specific? What kind of things do you want to know? What tips do you want to have for charity shopping?
I want to know how you can dig through. I mean, do you have a tactic? When you go into a shop, how do you approach things? Do you go through everything on the rail? Do you just wander past and see whether something takes your fancy? How do you sort through? Because there is a lot. I think that's the overwhelming thing about charity shops, is that every item's different. So in theory, every item can be looked at, and that takes a long time.
Yeah. I think give yourself time. Like, it's a process. You're supposed to enjoy it, you know. It's something that definitely, like, you need an afternoon for. And I don't personally go shopping with friends, just because I know that I know what you know, I kind of, I have my own way of doing things.
I want to take my time.
Maybe it is a lone activity, just like time for self-care. But yeah, like usually I just take my time to like peruse the rails. Like I said, like I often go with something in mind, you know, I will go with an occasion in mind or, you know, a look I'm trying to create. And definitely my existing wardrobe in mind, you know, I always am thinking about what I'm going to add to my wardrobe if I do need to add something to my wardrobe, rather than just kind of impulse buying. And yeah, I, what else? Go regularly. Because obviously, you know, the stock is always changing. And as you say, the stock is always different. Yeah, the turnaround's quick and the staff can probably help you out with, you know, things you're looking for. So it's always worth getting to know your local charity shop and getting to know the staff.
Sneakily finding out when they put out the new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Or even just letting them know what you're looking for.
Yeah. So how, in terms of how you personally dress, where do you get your clothes from? Are you into the sustainability aspect of only buying secondhand, or how do you approach things?
Yeah, so I would say now I am majority secondhand. You know, only occasionally will I feel the need to purchase something new, and I think about that quite hard before I do so. I recently bought Mara Hoffman number, and I'd kind of been coveting it for a really long time. I waited for it to be in the sale.
Is it that amazing dress that I've seen on your Instagram?
Yeah, I think so. So cool. Yeah, it's getting a lot of play.
It will be posted
multiple
Very
times.
Very jealous.
I love it, and it's like it's my little superstar. But yeah, I think about it quite hard, and I think about, you know, will I be able to get lots of wears out of this? Is it something that I can wear, you know, daily? And is it something that I can style up in lots of different ways? So that's kind of my approach.
Yeah, and kind of all going back to what you were originally doing of seeing what you already have and really like making mindful choices based on that and not just going out and buying random stuff that won't go with what you already have. All very circular. I would love to end with the two questions that I ask all of my guests at the end of the interview. So the first one of those is, what do you think is the biggest change needed in the fashion industry at the moment?
So that's a big question.
It is a big question.
It's a really big question. So it's a journey. It's that everybody is on, I think. And, you know, some of us are further ahead on the journey than others. But as far as I'm concerned, the quicker people just get started, the better. However, I would say probably the biggest thing, and you will have heard this before, is transparency. If we're talking about the fashion industry at large, because I think it's hard, especially for the consumer, to get their head round things when, you know, it can feel very overwhelming. And what's most overwhelming, I think, is not really having sight of everything, because how can you make conscious decisions if you don't really understand what's going on behind the scenes, if you don't understand the production process, if you have no knowledge and have no sight of that, how can you yourself make conscious decisions? Which is why I think, you know, I always say secondhand is a good place to get started, because at the end of the day, these textiles, these pieces of clothing, they exist already. So, you know, you kind of don't need to worry as much about that. You know, obviously, as I said, it's always good to consider the fabrics so that you can choose things, even if you're buying secondhand, that you know are going to last a long time and that you can love for a long time, and that potentially won't be washing out, you know, plastic microfibers into your wash load and into the sea. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that transparency is probably the biggest thing.
It is really key, because it seems like it's so easy to be preachy about sustainable fashion, eco-fashion, but actually it's quite an unfair responsibility to put on people if brands exist solely to kind of keep us from the facts about our clothing. It's hard to know what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's been really, really fruitful to have the Environmental Audit Committee come out mm-hmm. with their recommendations and their findings from the report that they've just done, because I think people need to hear that the responsibility is being pushed by somebody onto the brands, rather than it being continually feeling as though, you know, the responsibility is all on the consumer, because at the end of the day, the customer didn't create the, you know, the model of fast fashion. Mm. The customer didn't create the, you know, this kind of need for newness that was created by brands and business. And yes, people bought into it, but, you know, I think it's really important that we remember that there's a responsibility on the big brands to kind of do the right thing by people, at least in explaining and being transparent with the information.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a bigger issue than just kind of lumping responsibility on people to not buy fast fashion, definitely. But on a more positive note, yes. The last question I would love to ask you is, what makes you excited about the future of fashion?
What makes me excited about the future of fast fashion is the conversations that we're all having now. And actually, you know, when you arrived, we were talking about how I was speaking with Style Me Sunday earlier mm. in the week, and Natalie. And one thing we were talking about is how the bloggers who are, you know, advocates of fashion are starting to talk about sustainability. And I think that's a massive thing, because it means that, you know, shedding the shackles of being worried about talking about things because we're all feeling quite guilty mm. that we're part of the problem. People are just saying, you know, we need to have a conversation about this now. And, you know, whatever it takes, we're going to talk about it. And I think that's really good, because for me, when I started definitely with Charity Fashion Live, I wanted to open a door to conversation that felt positive rather than accusatory. And I think that that's kind of, we're shifting into that zone now. And I think that's super exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Really exciting. Thank you so much for talking to me, Anna Slade Edmondson. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Clothes and the Rest. If you enjoyed it, please rate, review and subscribe. It helps more people find me and I would really appreciate it. On the blog this week, Emma casts her mind back to her back of the wardrobe days to give you some tips on how to restyle what you already have. So if you want a few new looks without buying anything new, please check it out on clothesandtherest.com. For more from Emma, please follow her on Instagram at mslade_edmondson or visit her website emmasladeedmondson.com. The music you've been listening to has been All Comes Together by Handbook. I have been Holly Bullock. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next week with another fabulous guest.